Hello and welcome to the program with me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is me in the studio, and I have my guests already. He has arrived, and today we are having a discussion on the role and the contribution of Netherlands to South Sudan and South Sudan's relations, of course, and there are opportunities and prospects in this and to this, and we would like to explore that with the ambassador who was with me here in the studio. Ambassador, you had a difficult name, I remember. It's called Geert Quitt.
Very good, thank you. Yes, short but difficult.
Yeah. So you are welcome once again. It's been a long time since I hosted you, but I think you came again here on other programs on the station, and it's nice to have you again. Yes, Ambassador, let's have a little bit about background information about your country, and because. Not many people know about Netherlands or the Dutch people. So it's time for you to tell us something a little bit about the Netherlands. We know that you are milk producers, one of the top milk producers in the world. You are a small island. You struggle to keep that island from being flooded from the ocean and so forth. And also you're a member of the European Union, the community that is expanding, trying to expand, and sometimes having challenges on that. So let's have, what would you like to highlight this time about your country?
Well, thank you, Gabriel, for having us again. I remember last time we spoke was with Bishop Paris de Taban that we were here. Last time I was here was just last Monday, I think.
When we gave
some more information about our contribution to the humanitarian fund. Mm-hmm. But thank you for giving us this opportunity to tell you a bit more about our country. And I think what a lot of people do not know is how small that country is, actually. Mm-hmm, yeah. It is 33,000 square kilometers, which is about the size of Unity State, I think. Mm-hmm. So just to give you an idea of how small the Netherlands is. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's very densely populated. Mm. We have more than 17 million inhabitants. Yeah. So it means that we really have to organize ourselves very carefully in order to live together in a peaceful manner. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, as you already said, we have lived during our entire history in the struggle against the sea, actually. Mm-hmm. So we used to say in the Netherlands that the water is our best friend and our worst enemy at the same time, mm-hmm. because also it provides us our livelihoods.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it has been a serious threat. Mm. In the past centuries, there have been several severe floodings going back to the 17th century that we know of that were very serious floodings. But the most severe one was in 1953, mm-hmm. when there was a huge storm and also at the same time a particular tide that was very high. We call it spring tide, which is very aggressive and which broke the dikes and which flooded an entire province in the southern part of the Netherlands. And in one night, 1,800 people were killed.
Yeah, sorry.
And so that was a very serious incident, and that caused the Dutch government then to embark on a very ambitious project, mm-hmm. which we call the Delta Works, which was then started to build an entire infrastructure, not only of more dikes and higher dikes, but also of dams and of the how strange it may also sound, mm-hmm. Permeable dams. So dams that under normal circumstances let the water in, but only when there is an emergency it can be closed. Mm-hmm. So, we have been able to protect us from those risks ever since. And, of course, we must acknowledge that we have been able to become a very flourishing economy. So we have been able to develop ourselves based on, and that might also surprise you, but based on the most essential thing, which is agriculture. Mm-hmm. People think maybe of the Netherlands as a very industrialized country, which it is, of course, but a huge chunk of our export earnings comes still out of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that might also be something that not all everybody knows, is that after the United States, the Netherlands is the second biggest agricultural exporter in the world. So even before big countries like Canada and France and Australia that have, of course, a lot more production, but which do not export so much as the Netherlands does. And so a lot of our wealth is found in agriculture, actually. And you mentioned milk, but we can also call the flowers, of course, which are very important. But also, which I should underline, is knowledge about agriculture is also a product you can that you can export, and which we would like to make available to countries who want to benefit from that knowledge base, and we do, and also in the field of development cooperation, also in, let's say, in developing country, we make that knowledge available. And in my discussions with your leaders, I have had several times the occasion to point at that and say, well, we are ready to work with you to develop the agricultural sector in South Sudan, which has a lot of potential, I think. Maybe not as big as it may look at the first sight, but I think there are still significant possibilities there. There is a huge amount of high quality water. Your water resource, the Nile, runs through your territory. The Sud is there. Maybe that land is not as apt for agricultural production, but the water reservoir could be used elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we just would be able to achieve peace, then the Netherlands would stand ready, and the entire agricultural sector in the Netherlands would be ready to support the agricultural sector in South Sudan to turn it into the, let's say, the breadbasket of the entire region.
Yeah, listeners, if you just join us, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, with the Nationwide Program. With me in the studio is the Ambassador of Netherlands to South Sudan, Ambassador Geert Kwid, and he's just briefed me a little bit and with very, very concentrated information on his country, that is Netherlands. And also, your country, it seems to be very good in arts and music and painting and all where we read about the very famous Dutch painters and all. How did you make that?
Well, I don't know whether we are genetically predispositioned for that. I don't know. Yeah. But, of course, it was the already in the 17th century, of course, and you are referring to that. I think the age of Rembrandt is the 17th century, which we call the golden age of the Netherlands. Mm. We were already embarking on international trade. We were already involved in discovering new territories.
Yeah.
Of course, it had also the consequence of that.
Yeah, started before the Portuguese and the Spanish.
Exactly. And, we fought many wars with them also. There's nothing strange there in Africa, because we did exactly the same thing in Europe. And there were many fights among the colonial powers, because there was an enormous interest involved, of course.
Yeah.
The Netherlands have always been, I think, interested, because they are so small, interested in what's going on outside of their borders, and try to connect with those who are outside. And that's also, I think, predispositioned us for that curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And because it brought an enormous amount of wealth to the country, it freed a lot of resources to have, let's say, to give the space to art to flourish.
To flourish.
And then, of course, we had these exceptional talents of not only Rembrandt, but also Ruysdael and the others that came.
Yes,
after.
And a number of philosophers also. I don't want to go into
Spinoza,
that.
Spinoza, Erasmus. Exactly.
Who were really, really educators in the thought in the Europe and the in the old ages in Europe there. And I think a small nation living in a small place, squeezed, but that is really helped you to explore. And you use your location to the much, much advantage of your own people. That is something we need to learn, like South Sudan now is a landlocked country and we have a lot of neighbors. We can make advantage of our location to flourish also and gain from others, like you did with the neighbors you were mm-hmm. having there. Now we come to Netherlands and South Sudan. And it seems to that you are engaged here in South Sudan in fields. Last time you spoke about diplomacy, defense, and development. Let's start with diplomacy. Where are we at the moment?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting topic. Like everybody else, it's not only the Netherlands, but also other countries, not only Western countries, but also African countries are very much involved in the negotiations on the peace, new peace agreement, of course. Everybody is now concentrated on what's happening in Khartoum. You know that we have been involved in South Sudan for a very long time, even before independence. We have always been friends with the South Sudanese people and also always stood by the South Sudanese in their struggle for independence. There was a lot of support for that. And I think we stood side by side to you to celebrate in 2011 when independence came. Mm-hmm. And so all the more there is disappointment, of course, of what happened after that, that we have not been able to turn these developments into a positive thing that would then go on to build a new country, but that in the process of building that country, serious hiccups have now come up in where different groups are fighting each other instead of working together to build the country. And maybe, if you allow me, there I see a connection with the Netherlands. You said that so many scholars had come to the Netherlands and that they are known for their work. And one of the reasons why that is that these people were refugees. They came out of other countries because they were not tolerated there, because they had different views. They were considered atheists or Jews, or so they were not accepted in their country.
Yeah.
And in the Netherlands, there was freedom of of religion, of worship. So everybody was accepted the way they were for as long as they respected the laws of the land, of course. So we had a lot of very intelligent people coming into the country and which worked, then worked to from the Netherlands. And I think there is a lesson to learn there for South Sudan, is that it can bring you a lot of prosperity and goodwill if you try to be a tolerant country where there is space for everybody. And it seems every now and then that, you know, that the setting is not conducive to accepting different people from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, now plaguing the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the peace being, we are almost around the corner, as they say in Khartoum. Many corners have been reached, but they end in deadlock. But now it seems we are edging towards a final deal, maybe in a 2 weeks' time. Then the implementation might start after the pre-interim period. What is the immediate urge from you as a partner into this process?
Yeah. Well, we are not part of these negotiations.
Yeah.
We are observing.
Yeah.
We see what's happening. We have seen some results now on the first two chapters of the peace agreement. Of course, there is now more or less agreement, and they are now, as we speak, they are now working in Khartoum on the other chapters of the peace agreement, and to try to revitalize it and to give it new timelines and agree on the implementation. Not only as the Netherlands, but also as a member of the European Union, we have consistently said that we welcome these negotiations because it brings all the parties again around one table. There is now again a opportunity to put your differences aside and try to really make peace this time.
Mm.
One of the indicators for us to see whether there is actually a serious political will to make peace is that we would have to see the silencing of the guns, of course. if we would really see that the violence goes down and goes down to zero in this country, that of course would be a huge help, and it would also help us to convince our governments to continue to support the government of South Sudan, because then that would, the first hurdle would then have been taken to build the country, to bring the refugees back, to bring the internally displaced people back, and that we can finally concentrate not on humanitarian aid but on development.
Yeah.
And so for us, we have consistently, in our interactions with the government, we have said we need to see that the guns are silenced. And we have seen that there is now a considerable decrease in the level of violence and the number of incidents. But if you read the CTSAM reports over the last, they are now public, if you read the CTSAM reports over the last couple of weeks, it has not gone down to zero. And there are still very important pockets of violence, and that has to stop, of course.
Yeah.
And
the stopping of the silencing of guns seems to be challenging, because maybe there are issues of command line, of command discipline, organization, and even political will, military will, and a lot of things on the ground, at the ground. And now at the political level, there is a kind of a general perception from people who are at the, that we don't want a peace that is being imposed on us, we don't want to be coerced, I don't want to acquire us, and all that kind of things. Then it becomes really intricate. How do you make people sign peace without being pushed in this situation? And then what would be your response to those who think that it's the international community who is trying to make the situation change here, or it's the international community wants the country to be stable according to their own way, not according to our own ways?
Yeah, well, I agree with that comment. We cannot make peace in South Sudan. The South Sudanese people has to make peace with itself. Mm. Very complicated issue, and we have offered our support and we have offered mediation, but then again, it is the South Sudanese who have to agree whether and under which conditions they want to work together. And so, as I said, we are not part of the negotiations in South Sudan, in Khartoum. Mm. We are observers. We do not draft any text, or we do not oblige anybody to sign here or there. Mm. We know it's an IGAD-led process. Sudan and Uganda, of course, have now become very active in this field. But it is up to the South Sudanese, of course, to finally make the assessment, yes, this is an agreement that we can work with. We have seen in 2015 that if it is imposed on the parties,
yeah,
then very quickly it will,
yeah,
not work.
If there is one thing that you think the parties should be very cautious about, so that the next peace agreement will not falter, what would be your advice to avoid another collapse?
Yes, well, have confidence, and I think one of the most important first steps would be make some very tiny steps to build confidence building measures. Mm. And one of them is, again, silencing the guns. That is something, well, I won't say it's easy, but yeah, it can be done.
Yeah, it can.
If you can pull the trigger, you can also not pull the trigger.
Yeah, it can.
So that can be done. Facilitate humanitarian access. We have various occasions we have talked about that, of course, but still, South Sudan is one of the most dangerous countries for humanitarians to work in and to get food delivered to those who need it. And it would be a very confidence-building measure, of course, if we would see that humanitarians would have uninhibited access to the areas where they need to go.
Yeah. A little bit to also about development. You brought up the issue of development and access to humanitarian agencies. What is your country's latest contribution to the development efforts in South Sudan? And then we will go to the callers' phones. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, in spite of the enormous contributions that the Netherlands makes to the Humanitarian Fund. Our last broadcast was on that, and we have explained that we were the fourth largest contributor to the Humanitarian Fund in South Sudan. But in spite of those, on top of those contributions, we have never stopped contributing to the development of South Sudan, be it that we have chosen different channels. Through the UN system, through non-governmental organizations, both South Sudanese and international, and Dutch NGOs, we have been contributing considerably to three areas of development, which are, the first one is food security and agriculture. So clear food production, very basic, and as I explained, we are good at that, so we want to share those experiences. Second is water management. Well, there again, we are pretty good at that, so we want to make this knowledge available to you. And the third one is the development of the rule of law, human rights, and transitional justice. To give you an idea, for 2018, the budget that we have ready for execution in South Sudan for 2018 for development for these three topics is almost 40 million euros. I think 38.8 is the exact number. Mm-hmm. So it's close to 40 million. So that is a considerable amount of money. So it's more or less the same amount as the humanitarian contribution that we make, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a bit more difficult to assess because that money goes through different trajectories through the UN system, so it's very difficult to calculate exactly how much Dutch money ends up in the Netherlands, in South Sudan. Sorry.
Yes. And listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, with the Nationwide Program. With me in the studio is the Ambassador of the Netherlands to South Sudan, Ambassador Geert Kwit, and he's talking to me here about his country and also about his country's contribution and his country's desire for peace in South Sudan so that development can jump a start and we go into prosperity or progress, and that does not come without stability. Now it's time for your calls, and the numbers are there, and I already see the phone is having the signals. Calls are coming in, and the numbers are 09-1206-2079 and 09-1206-2950. The SMS line is 09-1217-7141. So you can send me, and also you can call, and I'll pick your calls. Hello, Nationwide. Missed that caller. Hello, Nationwide.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Gabriel Kedah.
Yes, welcome.
How are you?
Good, I'm fine. Who's calling and from where?
You are connected with Jamie Duor.
Jamie Duor from where?
From Dongping.
In Juba here.
Okay. Yeah, in Juba, yeah, right.
Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you. I really appreciate the Ambassador of Netherlands for the good work that he has released. But there are some few things that will not be done by South Sudanese. For example, this piece is out of hand of South Sudanese. For how long that they have fought for. So this one need experts from other countries to intervene them of how this seed should be brought and how will it be managed. So this one need contribution of Netherlands. Like now they are providing the food to the people of South Sudan. For how long are you going to provide food to people of South Sudan? Mm. Also, you have talked of they are going to put more skill to South Sudan need to produce their own food. So this one will come after peace come to South Sudan. But now, for his own analysis, and this peace is going on, how will peace, sustainable peace, come to South Sudanese? He talked also for this important issue of establishment of laws. And this is the minor South Sudanese minded a lot for. But how will they put it in mind of South Sudanese to respect the rule of law that has been established by them. And thank you.
Okay, thank you, James Dorr. Let me pick another caller. Hello? Hello. Yes, welcome. Who's calling and from where?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, it's Agel Mobok, Agel from Wau.
Agel from Wau, welcome.
Thank you. First and foremost, I welcome the ambassador for Netherlands to Radio Mirai Studios.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I will have only two questions to our guests in the studio. The first question is, apart from all what he has just narrated, all what he has just explained about the help and the contributions toward the fees and the cancellation among the Sons of the New communities and any other thing, what plans do they also have to make sure that the help Sons of Sudan, maybe in terms of education, which to do with scholarships, you see, and many others.
Okay.
What plans do they do? What plans do they also have here to make sure that the scholarship is also granted to Sons of the New students so that they can go to Netherlands for studies?
Okay.
This is the first question. Yes, this is the first question. The second question is, what are their achievements of the achievement of Netherlands?
Okay.
What are the good things they have done to Sudan Sudanese and the way forward?
Okay. Thank you.
And finally, the challenges. What are the challenges?
Thank you. That will require a whole lecture there. Yes. Hello, Nationwide. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
Hello, Joseph. Gabriel Shadar.
Yes. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes, I'm getting you. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, I'm getting you. Who's calling and from where?
Hello.
You're not getting me?
Hello?
Yeah, try to call again. Are you getting me?
Hello?
Yes, hello. He's not getting me. Lines issues. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello, Murad.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling and from where?
I speaking to Simon Dio from High Malacca.
Simon Dio.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Shidat.
Yes.
First, in the first place, I want to welcome the guest, our guest, Ambassador of Netherlands, Florida, who is in the studio with us today. Yeah, for me to contribute, really, this was a very expensive item. For us, South Sudanese, I don't think that how long will we be served by others. So people are not serious serious to welcome the peace. This one, it needs something to be done at least so that people may understand what is peace exactly. Because we need to define peace, and if we define peace, is whereby people will work operatively to welcome the peace, which is on the process now. And that is all about my point. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being brief there. Mm-hmm. Hello? You've lost the call on that line. Hello? Nationwide.
Hello? Nationwide. Gabriel Shadar.
Yes, welcome. Welcome. Mr. Noor Manoj George.
Shukran kathir al muarfa koi bitai and salam negul al debna fi sidio. And what we type does the seed, but.
No.
يعني كيف لما قاني بعمل عجار الكابل كيف يديم هذا بس يعني يكون ويال بتاع البطن وايد ويال أم وان بيبول وان نيشن يعني يبعد من مشاكل زيادة يعني كيف يعني بقى قاني تعني دم في خط الأمر يعني خط الأمر ما يعني كيف لو يكون خط كل كبكان الأمر يا كوز يا كوي قبل الشدة
شكرا
كيف يعني الرسالة زيادة يمكلهم شكرا كثير
Shukran is asking what would be the advice for the belligerent parties so that they don't go into bloodshed again and all that kind of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think I will also look into the... I think, yes, is Chan Leu from Bentiu Town is asking is the humanitarian aid or donor money a reinforcement to the peace agreement? This is from Chan in Bentiu. He's asking whether humanitarian aid is something that goes along with supporting the agreed peace. there is And also the Angelo Akejanayina Will, he says he's very glad for the coming of the ambassador to see this. His question is, the Dutch of the Netherlands is known with historical background, as we have seen the long Dutch settlement in South Africa since the 17th century and up to now, with the great change in South Africa region, and as it they get established, which field is the Netherlands organizations focusing on? Where are the organizations putting their efforts? What methodology will you use to make sure that the support is reaching the targeted people? And also Mayen Luol Dud from Per West, that is, I think he's in Awil town, yes. He's having a long question. Comparison with the your small country with the large South Sudan. Have you really got a country like South Sudan where people are worrying, killing, looting, abducting, robbing, and revenging? And how do you feel about such kind of exposure to this situation? That is, I think, the point there. Let me also see. Okay. Yes, these are other reactions. And so let me go to the questions or your comments on some of the remarks that have been raised there. Yes, Ambassador.
Yes, well, that's a huge list of questions.
Yeah.
I found the last one a really interesting one, because it compares the Netherlands to South Sudan, and the Netherlands is peaceful and South Sudan is not, and how can we turn South Sudan into some kind of Netherlands or something like that. I must qualify that statement, of course, because the Netherlands has not always been a peaceful country. It has also been at war with other countries, but also at war with itself.
Yeah.
It took.
By the way, you have different nationalities.
Well, not different. Different languages.
Languages.
They're all Netherlands, but then they all speak one common language.
Yeah.
But on top of that, they each speak 12 different language. 12 different provinces that speak their own language. Mm-hmm. I'm from the north, from Groningen, and that we speak a language that cannot be understood by our neighbors in Friesland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and they are close. They are just 50 kilometers away, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, and it took some time, yes. And that is always the argument also when we speak with the government here. They say you have to understand that we are just a young country, and it takes a lot of struggle before you can establish yourself. I understand that argument, but yet I think you can learn from other countries and try to prevent the bloodshed and try to build your country in a peaceful way. Mm. And I think the tools for that are there, and I think the international community stands ready to provide those tools. One of the callers called the importance of the law and the creation of laws and the respect for the rule of law. Yes, if you do not want to be governed by a gun, but you want to be governed by the rule of law, then you have to make good laws and you have to build institutions that will then see to it that those laws are being implemented, and those who trespass it, that will then be punished and will be held accountable. That is not something that you can build overnight, and that's why we understand why there is instability in a country like South Sudan. But I think there is a lot on the table that has been offered to South Sudan, and it's already there to be provided to write these laws and to build the institutions so that the rule of law can exist. So I am not underestimating our history, the amount of violence that was in our own history. And sometimes history goes on in violent ways, but it can never be an excuse for a young country to start fighting. Let's try to learn from other people's mistakes or other people's experiences on how to build a country in a peaceful manner. And I think the first caller, he mentioned that. He said, apparently we are not capable ourselves to make peace. We need international support for peace. So what can be done there? Well, there I have to repeat again. I do not think that the Europeans or even other Africans can make peace in South Sudan. It's only the South Sudanese who can do that. We can only provide the table to sit at where you can do that, and we can try to organize those discussions and try to prevent pitfalls which would cause instability again.
Yeah.
But I repeat again, if there is not a political will to stop the fighting and to concentrate on the one enemy, because it looks as if South Sudan has a lot of enemies because everybody's shooting at everybody. But actually, South Sudan has only one enemy, and that enemy is poverty. And if everybody decides to unite and to fight that enemy, then you will have concentrated on an agenda of development and of working together. And you have a choice. Yes, you can try to fight over the very little that there is and try to kill the other guy and have what the little that there is. Or you can try to make that what there is bigger so that everybody is in the end better off. So it's between confrontation
and, that is achievable.
And cooperation.
Yeah.
And I say it is cooperation. And that is a lesson that has to be learned, and it's very difficult. And I understand once you have gone through war and you have your family being decimated maybe, or you have been, you have to had to face a lot of injustices, it makes you want to revenge. But finally, everybody will end up poorer. And so my advice would be, try to overcome those differences, and instead of confrontation, choose cooperation.
Yeah.
How would we support development? There was a the caller from WOW,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes.
I would say we are... I also said it in the first part of the broadcast. Mm. We stand ready to make our knowledge available to the South Sudanese public. And we have a long history of providing scholarships, not only in water, in IHE, and in Delft, but also in the Agricultural University in Wageningen, the Institute of Social Studies in The Hague, even for government officials. We had a big program of training of South Sudanese diplomats in Klingendaal Institute. So those possibilities are still there, but they can only be accessed once there is peace, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am sure all those avenues will be open for the South Sudanese again.
Mm-hmm.
How can we reinforce the peace agreement? Well,
yeah.
as I said, we cannot make the peace. We can only promise you that once you decide to make peace and show the international community that the guns have been silenced and that people can come back to their homes, there will be an outpour of resources again to support you. But that confidence has to exist, because we have gone through these bad experiences already in 2015 and even before that.
Yes, Ambassador, we are coming to the end of the program. Let me pick one caller and we wind up.
Okay.
Hello?
Governor,
yes, welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Who's calling and from where?
Thank you so much. This is Isaac from Iceland.
Welcome, Isaac.
My first question to Ambassador is how South Sudan will be exactly in the next 5 years to come, as you are seeing people of South Sudan are coming in agreement. How should South Sudan will be in its place to demolish its country and leave all this chaos that has happened to ourselves? And what and how should we be example to rest of the countries that have been at war and they are now devolved and they have leave everything now?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. According to your prospects, where do you see South Sudan from now, 5 years from now, if there is peace?
Well, it's not only my job, but it's also in my genes to be optimistic.
Yeah.
I cannot afford to be pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spent 2 years now in South Sudan, and yes, I have come across some very bad things that are not going well, and we have seen a lot of violence that has come up. But let me also underline how many good people I have met, how many people of goodwill, how many people who want to build the country, have a constructive disposition. And it is the task of government, but also of society as a whole, to bring these positive forces together that do not want to look at the differences between one another, but that want to look at the commonalities. And as I repeat it, there's only one enemy in South Sudan, and that is poverty. So if you agree to put your individual squabbles behind you and focus on the task at hand and concentrate on development, I am sure there are so many natural resources in South Sudan. I'm sure within one generation, South Sudan has the ability to develop into a very prosperous country.
Really, thank you very much, Ambassador Geert-Quet, the Ambassador of the Netherlands to South Sudan, for being with us on the nationwide program on Radio Miraya. Hope to see you again, and all the best.
Thank you, Gabriel.
And that is the end of today's discussion on Nationwide. Stay tuned.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.